Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:52 British Summer Time. Today is September 30th. Well, this is also, of course, the end of the quarter, and it's been really quite an impressive quarter for the majority of risk-type assets. You'll see in comment of the day today that I posted a number of charts for some bond funds, and the better performers have been those that have a heavy weighting towards the financial sector or towards the emerging market bond or sovereign bond sector. And those are two additional areas of the risk type asset universe that have attracted speculative flows over the last quarter. Stock markets and commodities have certainly been up there as well. And what has funded speculative flows has been a very weak dollar, and the dollar remains in a consistent downtrend over the last 6 months, and it increased that downtrend in here today, breaking lower against stronger currencies such as the Singapore dollar or the Norwegian kroner. And we continue to see that the interdependence between a weak dollar and relatively firm stock markets or strong stock markets and commodity markets remains very much in place. So with today's additional weakness on the in the dollar, commodities got a boost with oil up over $3.50, gold was up $15, silver was up 50 cents. Copper was up 8 cents, platinum up $25, back above 1,300. So a general firming right across the commodity sector. The stock markets were relatively unchanged. The majority of markets down less than 1%, some in the region are more closer to down about half of 1%, and they have held the impressive advance that they had earlier this week really quite admirably. So, while on the one hand we have been in an impressive advance for much of the last 6 months, the funding currency of choice for speculative flows, which have helped to fuel this advance, is still really quite weak. And provided the dollar remains in this downtrend with a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs, then speculative or leverage traders will not really be under pressure from their carry trade. And that is a support for stock markets and other risk type assets. Of course, the counter side to that is that when we do eventually see some unwinding of this leverage, it will likely correspond with a strengthening of the US dollar, and that is likely to have a simultaneous impact on risk assets that have benefited from leveraged investments. That is likely to have a knock-on effect for stock markets, for a number of commodities, if not all commodities, as well as the corporate or emerging market sovereign debt markets. It would be positive for the dollar and probably positive for treasuries or sovereign bonds in the Western world. We don't have any evidence that the US dollar's downtrend is under pressure. In fact, it was reaffirmed in here again today. A sustained move above 78 on the dollar index would be needed to question the integrity of that decline. And the likelihood remains is that we're going to see further weakness in the dollar because there are very real questions about the dilutive effects of quantitative easing and the extraordinary amount of debt that the US government is taking on over the last year and over the coming years. And it's difficult to make a bullish case for the dollar at such remarkably low interest rates with stimulus still being pumped into the economy. So that would suggest that, small reactions aside, the chances are that we remain in a bull market, and that won't be seriously questioned until monetary conditions tighten. Now, we are currently at remarkably accommodative position in the majority of countries from a monetary point of view. And even when they begin to remove the stimulus and later on to raise interest rates, the spread between the long and the short end of the yield curve is so remarkably wide that even when they begin to raise interest rates, it will still take a considerable amount of time for that spread to tighten up. And until that occurs, the chances are that when we do get larger type reactions within stock markets or commodities, they're likely to be buying opportunities. And even when we do begin to see monetary conditions turn from a tailwind into a headwind, that's really going to be more of a warning signal that we're in the latter stages of this bull market rather than an outright selling signal. And we are still in the early stages of what is looking like a very promising bull market. And the commodity complex and emerging Asia and commodity producing Latin America appear to be very much to the fore of where the best returns can be found, and increasing numbers of investors are increasingly coming to that same realization. And the likelihood is that not only will these sectors provide the best opportunity for investors over the coming years, but on the 50-50 chance that central banks mess up and leave stimulus in the economy for too long, or don't take it out in an efficient manner, and we end up with a situation where there is too much liquidity in an environment where the velocity of money is speeding up once more, and we then would be in a situation where asset bubbles could form. And the chances are that if we see an asset bubble forming in the next decade, that it is probably going to form in commodities or in the emerging markets. The economists' map of indebtedness for countries that is in comment of the day today is well worth having a look at, because it obviously points towards some of the countries that have the most debt per GDP. But it also shows that a number of emerging markets have significant room to increase their level of indebtedness over the coming years. They may not need to do that, but they're in much sounder financial health than the USA and large parts of Europe are, and they are in a much sounder economic position than the majority of what many people term the developed world. And that is a comparative advantage that they're likely to play to over the coming years. And we can expect that they will be leading the world in terms of GDP and stock market performance over at least the next decade, if not longer. Today was an important day for gold, because not only was the dollar weak, but the gold market, and indeed all the precious metals, firmed really quite impressively. And gold is back above $1,000 and is firming within its range. And while this isn't evidence that we're going to get an immediate breakout, it is certainly saying that there is demand in the region of $990, and we would need to see a sustained move below 950 before we question the potential for gold to be able to sustain a break above $1,000. Now, if we're still talking about it being able to sustain a move above 1,000 by the time next January comes around, then we might be starting to talk about it in another light. But what we are looking at today is that there is significant potential for gold to be able to sustain a move significantly above $1,000 in the coming months. And with that thought, I think I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.